Amen. Give God a praise clap, for He's a good God. Go ahead and have a seat. Hey, it's good to see you all on this Lord's Day as we celebrate Jesus and we worship Him together as a church. And hopefully everyone had a great week. I always love Sundays. I get to see you guys again. And I just tell you, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged every week to see you folks and love you guys as God is doing a great work in our church and in our community and as the Lord's just doing an awesome time. And I tell you, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. And we're going to read a verse that's kind of weird. It's a weird verse. I'm kind of a weird guy, so it works out okay, you know. So I like weird verses in the Bible. The Bible's got a lot of odd verses in them. But as my grandfather used to say, he used to say, every therefore is there for a reason. So even sometimes the obscure Bible verses, the weird Bible verses, they still are there for a meaning. And they're still there for a purpose. We've been talking about, over the last couple of weeks, living a life of certainty. That we want to make sure that we are certain about some few core issues. We want to know that we're certain that we have a home called heaven, that we have eternal life living inside of us. And we can know that. We don't have to live this life wondering if we're going to make it to heaven or if we're not. If we trust in Jesus, if we come to the cross of Jesus and we say, Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my life, and we trust in the resurrected Jesus, then the Bible ensures us and assures us that we can be saved. It's not something we have to wonder about. We can live with certainty that we have eternal life inside of us. We also know that we can be certain that the Bible is real. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that there's historical evidence, you know, piled up as high as a mountain, that there's reasons to trust the Bible. There's no other book like the Bible. It is incredible. Last week, we talked about that we can know and we can be certain that God hears us when we pray. Aren't we comforted today to know that when we can pray in the name of Jesus that God hears us? Who's comforted by that today? Yeah, I am all the time. That when I talk to the Lord in the name of Jesus as a Christian, that He hears my prayers and that He's working out something in His sovereign plan, that he knows what He's doing. And I want to talk today about one more thing that we can be certain about, and that is that we can be certain today that we have a purpose. See, sometimes in life, we feel that we're just another cog in the wheel. We feel we're just another road sign on the highway. We feel this way or that way. And we wonder, do we really, truly have purpose? Why am I here on this earth? Why did God put Kenny Rager here? Why did God put you here? What significance do you play on earth? Do you have significance? Do you have a purpose? Do you have a reason to live? And if you do have a reason, if you do have a purpose, where does that come from? How do we discover that? I want to read kind of an odd verse, Jeremiah 20, verse 18. This is such a weird verse, and I hope this is so inspirational to all of you that it just encourages you and it makes you feel so happy about yourself when I read this. Isn't this just a wonderful feel-good verse that we're about to read? Let's just follow along as I read. Isn't this such a feel-good, wonderful verse today? Why did I come out of the womb to see only struggle and sorrow, to end my life in shame? Everybody happy now? Amen on that one? Everybody feeling good about themselves? Why did I come out of the womb to see only struggle and sorrow, to end my life in shame? As we talk about that, we ask God to help us today as we study His Word, and we ask Him to do that. But this is written by the prophet Jeremiah. Now, I don't know how much you know about Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived about 600 years before Jesus. 600 years before Jesus. And Jeremiah had a really weird ministry. He was born as a priest in the family of priests. Probably the day he was born, a man came and told his daddy and said, Daddy, hey, listen, you got a son, and that son's going to be able to carry on the family line. He's going to be able to serve in the temple. He's going to be a priest. He's going to make you all so proud. And I'm sure Jeremiah lived his life just thinking he was just going to be an everyday, ordinary kind of guy until God spoke to him and made him a prophet. Actually, his book, the book of Jeremiah, is one of the longest books in the Bible, and it's considered one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. But Jeremiah had a very unique ministry. You see, in his ministry, he was called upon by God to deliver a message to the people of Judah, which was the southern part of Israel. And the message was this: you've all sinned, you've all done wrong, there's no escape, there's no hope, you're all going to die. That was his message. Now, that would depress me if that was my... And I don't know how effective that would grow a church. You know, hey, welcome to Life Community. You're all going to die. Hallelujah. Go have a great day, okay? But that was his message. His message was to stand up and to proclaim every day, you're beyond hope. You're beyond repair. You're going to... You know, there's going to be an enemy who's going to come. They're going to invade the southern kingdom of Judah. They're going to carry you off. They're going to make you slaves. Your children will be slaves. And then one day, you'll be freed. But this entire generation is doomed. Now, as a result of that, that's got to affect your emotions. If every day your message is, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed. It had to affect them. Because Jeremiah loved his people. I mean, this guy wasn't a Fruit Loop. This guy was a godly man. And he loved the Lord. And he loved his people. And he pleaded. But the people of Israel at that time were just kind of beyond repair. They weren't willing to repent of their sin. They weren't willing to follow the Lord. And God just kind of had enough. He just had enough with them. And an army was going to come in. The Babylonian army was going to come in. Was going to conquer them. Carry them off as slaves. And this was going to happen. And Jeremiah responded like anybody in his shoes would. This was... He had a roller coaster of emotions. Somebody rightfully said, I think it's funny, that not only was he the prophet of doom, he was also the prophet of bipolarism as well. Because you would have him in one verse, praising the Lord. God, you're good. God, you're awesome. God, you are worthy of praise. And the next chapter, my life stinks. Lord, kill me. God, kill me. I wish that I never came out of the womb, because all I'm doing... is seeing struggling and sorrow, and my life is going to end in shame. The prophet of doom and the prophet of bipolarism. But here is Jeremiah, who is struggling with why he's even on earth. You catch Jeremiah at a low point in his life at this. This is a low point. I do want to tell you that he is considered one of the great heroes of the faith. In the days of Jesus, the prophets were, you know, that they were recounted were Isaiah and Daniel and Jeremiah. So he's considered one of the heroes of the faith, but he was a real human being. Now, isn't this comforting to know that when the Bible tells us of people in the Bible, that it never paints them out to be some sort of superman. It never paints them out to be someone without problems. You have Jeremiah here, and the Bible captures him in a low point. The Bible captures him in a state of serious depression, because he's entrusted with a harsh message, and he's struggling with this. And this little verse here gives you a little snapshot of how he was feeling on one particular day. And he was feeling like, Lord, why was I even born? God, if all I got to do is just sound the warning sound and do this and that, why am I even here? Why did I come out of the womb? And other guys struggled with this. You can read about Job. Job struggled with this. Job said the same thing. He said it would have been better if I was born dead. Job said. I mean, people deal with this stuff. People deal with significant issues. People deal with purpose issues. I want you to know today that as he, you caught him at this one point in his life where he was low on the scale. The reality is today there may be some folks here that are at that same point in their life. You are wondering and you are questioning, God, why am I here? God, why? What significance, what contribution do I make on planet Earth? God, why did you allow me to enter the womb, to leave the womb, only to have this happen? A lot of philosophers have tried to answer that question. The deist says this. The deist says, well, God just wound up the universe and he just left us alone. There is a God, but he just let us do our own thing, so it doesn't really matter to begin with. There really is no purpose. The naturalists will say, well, we all evolved, everything was a big bang, it's all about science, we're just a big cosmic accident, so there's no purpose. Others today, the nihilists may say, well, we're hopeless, it doesn't matter, we're doomed. The existentialists may say, well, I don't know what my purpose is, maybe I have to make up a purpose for myself. Maybe I got to define what my own purpose is, and if I can make my own purpose, then maybe I'll feel better. But every time I make my own purpose, I just feel empty again. But Scripture says something else. Scripture says that it's not our feelings that dictate our purpose. It's not our situation that dictates our purpose, but instead, it's God who tells us why we're here. Warren Wiersbe, the great preacher and theologian, he said this, and I'm just going to read it to you. He says this, he answers the question that Jeremiah asked, the question that says, why did I come out of the womb? And Wiersbe says this, he says, why did I come out of the womb is an easy question to answer. It's an easy question. Why were you born? Easy question. Because God had a special purpose for your life and designed you to fulfill it. God makes no mistakes when he calls us servants. And we should take care not to question his wisdom. All of us have had times of discouragement when we felt like quitting. But that's when we must look beyond our feelings and circumstances and see the greatness and wisdom of God. That's Wiersbe's commentary on this verse. He says, look beyond your current situation. Look beyond your feelings of worthlessness or doom, or look beyond your feelings of insignificance and look at what the Bible says. Because it is God who gives us purpose. It is God who tells us why he allowed us to exit the womb. It is the Lord who defines our purpose today. Let's look just briefly at Scripture. Three things I want you to catch out of Scripture today. First is that we are a special creation. I want you to know that. You are a special creation today. The Bible would tell us this in the book of Psalms. For it says this, and it says, For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And I know this very well. The writer would say this, is that when we were created, God was knitting us together. He was putting us together inside of our mama's belly. And he was doing that. Quick question. Do we have any knitters in the house today? Any knitters at all? Well, all right. No knitters in the house today. I have a confession. Can I confess today? When I was in high school, I wanted an easy A. I had an elective. And I heard through the grapevine that the easy A class to take was crocheting and knitting. I heard that through the grapevine. So I decided to get my easy A by taking a knitting and crocheting class that Apollo High School offered. I thought, man, this is going to be cake. I just got to show up, be in. You know what I learned about knitting? Dude, it's tough, okay? Knitting is not for sissies, okay? Knitting is not for sissies. And what I learned about knitting and crocheting is that, first off, I'm really lousy at it. I'm not a good knitter, so I will not be knitting you socks or blankets anytime soon, nor will I ever. But I also learned this about knitting, is that when you knit, it really is, this is so weird, I'm talking about knitting. I'm telling you, I've knitted in my life. I'm so ashamed of that, okay? But here's the deal. When you knit, you're taking different strings and yarns, and you are creatively assembling that to make something. You are creatively, you have a creative knack about you. You're putting color into it. You're putting this into it, and you're making something. For example, you might knit a blanket. And why do you knit a blanket? Well, you knit a blanket to cover you from the cold. Maybe you knit a scarf to put around your neck, or you knit socks for a child that they will wear. See, when you knit something, it's a creative process where somebody is putting a creative spin on it. They're taking different elements, they're putting them together, they're winding it up for a purpose. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says that when you are in your mama's belly, you are being knitted together by the Lord. Knit it together. That you were being pieced together. Fabrics were being sewn to make you. Certain colors, certain DNA strands, certain personality traits. All of this, the Lord did. Some of you all will feel, well, I'm just an accident. I was just a mistake. Friend, I want to tell you something. There are no mistakes with our God today. None. Every one of you have purpose. Every one of you were planned by God. Did you know that? God knew who you were before your mama and daddy knew who you were. You were knitted together. Somebody said, well, Ken, you don't understand. My mom and dad didn't want me. I don't care if they wanted you or not. God wanted you. God wanted you. And God pieced you together in your mama's belly the way he wanted you to be. Well, Kenny, I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too wide. Listen, you're just the way the Lord wanted you to be. Well, I don't like my nose. Well, God does. God does. Listen, he knitted you together to be who he wanted you to be for a purpose. That's why, guys, I believe life begins at conception. I believe that a child is a child at the moment of conception. And we must protect life and we must stand for life. It is not just a fetus. It is not just a bunch of tissue. It's a child. It's a child. Because as I read the scripture, the Lord is knitting us together in the mama's belly. Understand that. We're not an accident. You're not an accident. Life begins at conception. You are a unique creation. And as a result of that, the psalmist says what? Because of that, he says, I will praise you. I'll praise you. Because I'm uniquely made, I'm going to give praise to the Lord. Now, Jeremiah was at a low point. And all he was thinking of was the hardship that he was dealing with. And he was kind of letting out woe instead of praise. And some of you all today might be at the low point. And you think, I don't know why I'm on this earth. I don't know why God put me here. Woe is me. But just stop for a second. Look at how creatively designed you are. Look at how unique you are. Look at how special you are. And when you think about that, when you understand that God gave you your personality, God gave you your hobbies, he hardwired you exactly the way you're supposed to be. You know what you should do? You should stop complaining and start praising that you have a purpose. That God was not haphazardly putting stuff together. Oh no. He was purposely making you. It leads to praise. So when you feel like you have no purpose in life, stop and think, wait a second, I'm a winner. I came out of that womb. God put me together. I'm here for a reason. Guys, as long as that heart is still beating inside your chest, you have purpose. You know, all right, everybody must make sure you're still alive because I'm wondering today. Everybody put your hand on your heart. You feel it? You feel it? Y'all still alive? I hope some of y'all are, okay? Every beat tells you you got purpose. Every beat, you have a plan. You are created. You are created, the Bible says. You are a special creation. Second, we are created for Christ. We are created for Christ. The book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 tells us this. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him. And check this part, and for him. Him in this passage is speaking of Jesus. It is Jesus in Colossians 1 that they are speaking about. The Bible says that Jesus was active in creation. Jesus was there. He's always been here. He is God. And he was active in creation. As he was speaking into creation, the Bible says that everything that has been created was created through Jesus and for Jesus. Understand that. That's important for you to grasp. It says that everything in heaven and earth, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, the invisible, the visible, everything was created for the purpose of Jesus. Well, somebody would say, well, Kenny, why did Jesus make men? Why did he make humankind? Why did he do that? Was God lonely? Somebody may say, well, maybe God was lonely. And because God was lonely, therefore he had to make man. Wrong answer. See, if God was lonely, he would be an incomplete God. See, God has all the fellowship he wants. He has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're pretty tight. They're pretty tight. They know each other. He's not lonely. He didn't create man because he needed man to make him happy. No, he didn't. Okay, if he didn't create man because he wasn't lonely, why did he create man? You ready? Because he wanted to share his goodness with creation. He's all about sharing. He's all about love. He knows how good he is. And so he made people to experience him. He made people to find their significance, to find their worth, to find what love is. He made them to understand who He is. God has made us to love us. He's made us so we can experience His love. And when we begin to experience Jesus Christ, when we begin to say that our lives, our heart beats all because of Jesus, our heart beats, our significance, our purpose is to live for Jesus Christ. That is our purpose, is to give our lives to Christ, to make Christ number one. We will truly discover our purpose in life. But here's what happens. We try to substitute Christ for other C's. Can you hear what you're talking about? We try to substitute Christ for other C's. Instead of Christ, we want our purpose to be our career. Instead of Christ, we want our purpose to be our cash. Instead of Christ, we want our purpose to be our contributions. Instead of Christ, we want a career. Instead of Christ, we want money. Instead of Christ, we want to be contributors to a certain field. So we try to carve out life to say, okay, the more I can contribute, the more money I can make, and the better job I have, therefore the more purpose and significance that I have. Wrong. Wrong. Guys, there are millionaires, billionaires on this earth right now. Billionaires. Billionaires that are lonely and depressed and sad right now. And there are other people that are living in mud huts in Honduras, and I have seen them with my eyes, that are happy and content and full of the love of Jesus Christ. And they have nothing, but they have everything because they have Jesus. And when you have Jesus, friend, you have everything. When you have Jesus, you have everything you'll ever need. Here's what's cool. I can lose it all, but I still have Jesus. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. My purpose in life is to live for Jesus. That means that whatever career I find myself in, whatever career you find yourself in, you're to live for Jesus in that career. Well, Kenny, I'm just a door greeter at the Walmart. How could I ever make a contribution? Will you be the best door greeter for Jesus that Walmart has ever seen? Well, Kenny, I all I do is sweep floors. Will you be the best floor sweeper for Jesus you've ever been? And you shine for Christ. Well, Kenny, I live in a retirement complex. Will you shine the love of Jesus to your neighbors unlike anybody else? Because we're created for Christ. That's our purpose. Not your job, not your money, not your contributions, but Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. You try to find your identity in anything else. If you try to label yourself with anything else, well, I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm this, or I'm that, buddy, you will come up bankrupt every time. Every time. Your identity is only truly discovered when you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're doing what He wants you to do. You're created for Christ. The end. You're created for Christ. Third, we are created for the work of Christ. So you're created to know Jesus in a personal way, but also, you are also created to do the things that Jesus wants you to do. Okay, so Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 tells us this. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. And it goes on to say, not from work, so that no one can boast. For we are His creation. Now check this part. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. Okay, Christ made you in the belly of your mama. You're made for Him. So what's the problem? Well, here's the problem. The problem is this, is that we are sinners by nature. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We all walked away from the good things of God. And we're born that way. We're born with purpose. We're uniquely designed. But we walk away from God. We're all sinners. We all do things that are wrong. As a result of that, we are separated from our Creator. We are separated from Him. There is a wall between us and the Creator who gives us purpose, who gives us significance. And that wall is called sin. It is our sin. And the only way that can be saved is through Jesus Christ. The cross is the bridge from us to God. It is the connector from us to God. Ephesians says, for it is by grace you've been saved. So it's not of works. It's very clear. We're not saved by our creed. We're not saved by our church. We're not saved by our heritage. None of that matters. It doesn't save you. You could be the best person ever, but the Bible is clear. You're not saved by works. So when you go to heaven, it's not some big scale that says, okay, I did this and maybe it will outweigh my bad. No, the Bible says there is no one righteous. So here's what the scales in heaven looks like. Good, bad, bad. That's what it looks like. Okay? That's what it's like in heaven. Just bad. So what happens is this, is that we need forgiveness and we need grace. And that comes through a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. A personal relationship in Christ. For it is by grace you've been saved. What is grace? Grace is a free gift. It is something that's paid for by God for you through the blood of Jesus so you could be saved. So when we are saved by grace, when we are saved and we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we receive Him, the Bible says then you really begin to live for Him. Because look what it says in verse 10. It says, for we are His creation. Read that next part with me. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Listen, you're not saved by works. Bible's clear. It's not you say, well, I gave this amount of money, I did this, therefore I am saved. No, that's not how you're saved. You're saved by grace. But when you get saved, guess what happens? You start doing good works for Jesus. Why? It's kind of like the little boy who went to his dad and said, Dad, I need Jesus in my life. And the dad said, well, son, you need to pray and you need to invite Jesus inside of you. Little boy thought about that for a second. He said, but Dad, if I let Jesus come inside of me, won't He stick out a little bit? Won't He stick out a little bit? And the answer to that question is yes. See, when you give your life to Christ, Jesus just oozes out of you. You start doing the Jesus thing. No one makes you do it. It just kind of happens. You give your life to Jesus and you start growing. And you know what? All of a sudden you find yourself giving to people. You find yourself loving people. You find yourself doing weird stuff that nobody told you to do, but it's just ingrained in your spirit because He lives inside of you. He lives inside of you. So when we give our lives to Jesus, yes, we are created by God. We're created for God. And then when we give our lives to God, we then begin to serve God. We begin to live out the things of God. Again, that could be as a Christian floor sweeper, as a Christian, you know, factory worker, as a whatever it is. That shines out. Again, your purpose is not your job. Your job may change over and over and over and over. Your purpose isn't your job. Your purpose is Jesus. So wherever you go, whatever job you have, it's shining Jesus. And then it's discovering Christ. So here's what you need to understand. What is Christ asking of you in your current situation? What's He asking of you right now in your current situation? How can you serve the Lord? How can you serve the Lord? How can you serve the Lord in your community? What can you do to help your neighborhood be a better neighborhood for Jesus? What can you do to help it? What can you do in your church to help your church win people to the gospel? You know, as we're preparing for our next season of serving, which will be from the next 4 months, and we're going to plug people in children's church, and going to plug them in as door greeters and in the praise band and, you know, tear down setup. There's a lot of work that goes into everything you see, and it's all volunteer. It's all volunteer. It's just people that care about you being here, and they care about you hearing Jesus. So I challenge you, how are you going to serve in the next season of serving? How are you going to do that? So I challenge all of you all, whether you remember or not, to go over to the table after the service and find a place for you to serve. Find a place for you to serve and get plugged in. Get plugged in and do that. Because the church is about proclaiming the name of Jesus, but we do that together. It's a team effort. We do that as a team. So how are you going to serve? How will you serve your other brothers and sisters in the Lord? Are there some Christians in your life group that are hurting that need you? Are there some Christians that maybe aren't in a life group and they just need you to pull them a little bit closer to help them? So think about that. How is God calling you to serve? To serve. When you understand that you were made by God, you were made for God, and then you are to serve God, you have purpose. And nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can steal that from you. Nobody can. No matter what happens in life. Now, Jeremiah, going back to him, you caught him at a low moment. Some of you all are in a low moment. You think you don't have purpose because of a failed marriage, because of a financial mistake, because of the death of a loved one, because someone left, because of this, because of that. Stop it. Just stop it. Your purpose is not wrapped up in that. Here's what you need to know about Jeremiah. Even though you caught him at a low moment when we read this, he's still one of the major prophets. He's the Mac Daddy, all right? He's one of the big Mac Daddies of the Old Testament. And here's what you need to know about Jeremiah. He wrote a beautiful, beautiful section of Scripture that prophesied the coming of Jesus. And we call that the New Covenant. And in that section, he writes this. His tone has changed. His depression is gone. And he's looking at brighter things that are coming. And he writes this later on. He says, speaking the Lord's words, he says, I will put my teaching within them and write on their hearts. And listen to what he recorded. I will be their God, and they will be my people. He's out of the depression. And he knows that God is in control. Folks, have you let Jesus be the reason you live? Have you let Jesus be the reason you live? Because if he's not the reason you get out of bed in the morning, you will completely be running on empty. Always. Maybe today, as our next steps, we need to just give our lives to Christ. If we've never given our lives to Jesus, it's time to surrender and believe and invite him into our heart. For those that are Christians, it's time, listen, I love you, but it's time to quit believing that you're insignificant, quit believing that you're a mistake, blah, 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 blah. I love you. You know, I can obviously tell that I'm a pastor, not a counselor, amen? You know, so I can definitely know that I'm not a counselor, I'm a pastor, you know. I love you, but you do have purpose. You have purpose. Repent of this negative stuff. Quit believing that you're a joke, because you're not. You have significance and purpose in Jesus. I hope today that you would give your life to Christ. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes as our praise band comes this morning? Maybe today there are some today that do need to be saved. How I would challenge you and encourage you to come and give your life to Christ. Maybe there's some Christians that just need to get just to the point where you know that Jesus is what it's about. It's not anything else. It's not your hobby. It's not your career. It's just Jesus. So, Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we invite people to come and pray. We invite people to call on the name of Jesus. We invite people to worship. And, God, and I pray right now that you would help us to know that it's not about our cash. It's not about our contributions. It's not about our careers. But it's about Christ. So, Father, as we come to you, we know you are our purpose, and we praise you. We are certain today that we have purpose. We are certain that we are not mistakes. Lord, we love you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know how you need to respond to that. Maybe you need to come forward, give your life to Christ. Simply come and pray, asking God to be God in your life. Would you stand? Respond today, saying to the Lord, respond as he lays on